This is 161st Street, Yankee Stadium.
Today is March 16th. The Yankees spring training continues, but Tyler, unfortunately, the injury bug is already getting to us and the season has not even started yet. It sounds way too familiar for us Yankee fans, and it hit us actually right after we recorded our last episode last Thursday to hear about the Carlos Rodon news as well as Bader in the same day. So that was a double whammy that did not have to happen.
Bad day.
With some other trickling injuries right before the season starts. We're exactly 2 weeks away from the season starting on March 30th. So that's exciting, but we got to talk about all these past injuries that we saw this last week, and hopefully we can see these guys sooner rather than later. I would like to say, before we get into it, congratulations on Aaron Rodgers becoming a New York Jet as a New York Jet fan.
Oh, yeah. For you. We didn't even talk about that.
So,
yeah. I'm fired
I'm
up.
I'm sure we got plenty of NFL fans along, maybe some Jets listeners as well. So for those that don't know, I'm a Giants fan, but Tyler is a Jets fan as well. So
New York football,
yeah,
baby.
So actually we got two. I was shocked by the Darren Waller news. So it wasn't all bad stuff happening this past week. We got March Madness starting today. I'm watching a little bit in the background while we're recording, but
even though
we got these Yankee injuries, there's still a lot of sports news happening, so there was something there to kind of mellow us out and make us feel a little better about these things going on. But what's up?
Not much, dude. Like you said, bad news last week, all on the same day. Bader with the oblique, and that's like one of those injuries where I feel like I've listened to a few pods where, you know, a couple dudes from, you know, retired ball players or whatever, they were like, yeah, when you have an oblique injury, once you think you're fine, wait two more weeks.
Yeah.
So I remember when Judge had it in, what was it, 2018, Rob, I think? Maybe 2017? I think it was 2018.
Yeah.
But it took him a full 2 months to come back. I know Bader's isn't like a minor oblique injury, so I'm sitting here saying, no, like if we see him in May, I'll be happy. I know Cashman said in a perfect world, April. Or was that for Rodon? I don't remember. But either way, I think Bader's going to be out a hot minute.
6 weeks, I think, exactly.
Yeah, that's what they said. They said 6 weeks, but again, that's, I don't know. I'm taking that with a grain of salt. That's with no setbacks. And I feel like the oblique is just weird in baseball, dude, because you're just, like, you swing, it's all your core. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. That's pretty annoying to me. And the fact that the Yankees simply do not have a backup center fielder and never got one, we now have discussions of obviously things we'll get into with IKF in this podcast playing center field potentially. But we're in a weird spot, dude.
Yeah.
Last year we had no injuries in spring training. I literally don't think we had any. And then we collapsed throughout the season with a bazillion injuries. So maybe, you know, hopefully I guess it's just hitting us now instead of later. But it's kind of gross.
It is definitely gross, man. It is definitely gross.
Yeah.
So, I mean, let's hop into it. So, Rodon headed to the IL with the left forearm muscle strain. He got shut down. I think we're still in the midst of it for at least 7 to 10 days. He underwent an MRI with showing no UCL damage, and I believe it was something that he managed back when he was with with San Fran.
Yeah, they said last May.
And they sort of did the same thing of where it's more of like they're monitoring it, and Rodon spoke, and it's not something as worrisome as we were led to believe, at least from the first report. So it sucks, though, because we want to see him in the opening series against San Fran. It'd be cool for him to pitch against his old team in the opening series, obviously, on that weekend. But we were debating who's going to be the fifth starter. Well, now Domingo Germán and Clark are immediately both in there. So that's no longer a debate, at least until Rodon comes back. But I would say I'm definitely worried. I think Yankee fans should be a little
I'm worried.
Definitely worried as you're heading into a 6-year contract with the guy.
Uh-huh.
But
until I hear like had a great bullpen session or something like that, I'm going to be worried.
Yes, and it's the only kind of thing that put me a little bit at ease is that the way that they managed it before, but even then on the other side of the other side of the coin, you could look at that and you could say, well, it's only getting worse. So I don't know, man. It's going to be something that hopefully just really doesn't persist and that he could get back. But I'm glad that they're addressing it now rather than just saying, well, we need to get him out. We need to throw him. And like, this is a long-term investment. We cannot, cannot just rush him out there and just say, oh, you know, we'll see if it sparks up again. Like, no.
Yeah, let's see what happens.
No, let's stay on top of this. Let's make sure he's good. And that sounds like what Cashman and the organization is doing. So,
yeah, I mean, exactly that. You got to imagine that the Yankees are going to take this very slow with Rodon, or at least be extra cautious. Like you said, six-year investment. They're their new favorite toy in the clubhouse, or Rodon's their new favorite toy in the clubhouse. And, you know, you don't want to push him a little too far. But whenever you hear forearm, elbow, shoulder with any pitcher, you kind of default think the worst. At least I do, Rob. I'm just like, yeah, exactly. You're like, holy shit, a pitcher. You know, shoulder's not feeling great, you know, a la Frankie Montas. And then same with Rodon. And I think to your point about, you know, him dealing with it last May or whatever, playing devil's advocate here, you can say, hey, he's feeling that for some reason. Like, you don't just like feel pain for no underlying reason, I suppose, unless it's kind of like Rizzo's back issue that pops up every once in a while. But the forearm, it does stress me out a little bit. So I'm hoping the Yankees take it slow. I hope they kind of go about whatever proper tests they need to do to rule things out. But yeah, I think word for word, they said the UCL is intact. So obviously that's good news. Rodon made it a point to say if this was October, he would in fact be pitching. But his goal is not to pitch until the All-Star break. It's to pitch deep into the playoffs. Just gotta hope for the best, dude. Wait for like a specific timeline. Once he starts, you know, throwing again, I think we'll know a little bit more. Yeah. So hopefully within the next week or
exactly.
So.
The Harrison Bader injury, the oblique trouble, being out for at least the first 6 weeks of the season. That one, I am concerned more so than the Rodon injury for sure.
That's fair.
We know, at least with Judge.
Is he injury prone now?
It's a slippery slope, and we know that he has the injury trouble in his past with the Cardinals. I remember
plantar fasciitis last year.
I remember being out in St. Louis when I went to go see them and the trade happened, and you know, just in conversation with Cardinals fans at the bar or at the game or just around in St. Louis, they would talk about Bader. It's like, yeah, just got to hope that he stays on the field for you guys, and that's what we have to hope for. And it's really concerning, especially you mentioned it earlier. It's concerning knowing that they don't have the kind of depth that you want at heading into the season, let alone going through the entire season with the outfield. Like Aaron Judge, mm-hmm. Dude, Aaron Judge, you could say is at this point the most, I mean, he is, but he's the only reliable guy that's going to be on the field and play well at this point, because you don't know. Obviously, Stanton's probably going to play the outfield, but you don't know how available he is going to be in the outfield. We all know the issues with Aaron Hicks and all these rest of these guys. Like, that's why Bader was such an integral part to this lineup and to this outfield. And that's why this is the scariest injury that could really, really hurt them throughout the whole year. And we're all rooting. Like, we love Bader. What he did in the postseason was amazing. And,
yeah, he was dope to watch.
And you want to see that for an entire season, and that's what we were hoping for. But hopefully, I mean, it's the first 6 weeks of the season. That's the first month, man, and you want to get him back ASAP.
Yeah, I'm looking at his stats right now, and Harrison Bader hasn't played more than 103 games since 2019. He only played more than 86 games one of those years. That was in 2021. He played 103. So, obviously, like we said, not a phenomenal track record. We just got to hope he stays on the field. But frankly, Rob, the Yankees, they kind of dug themselves into this hole. We have an abundance of middle infielders. Like we've said since, I don't know, last year, probably the last 12 months, we've said this. And they don't have a backup center fielder. Is Aaron Judge your backup center fielder? I don't know. Do you want him to be? Probably not. You just signed into a 9-year deal. Is Aaron Hicks your backup center fielder? I hope not. So I think, frankly, it's straight up irresponsible of the Yankees how they handled the depth in terms of the outfield, because just like what's happened, you have one injury. All of a sudden, you now have this whole shabacle of an outfield rotation that makes no sense because you don't have a center fielder. You got too many infielders. You can't trade some of them, I guess, or any of them. So you don't really have a left fielder, and now you don't really have a center fielder. You just have this rotation of people playing in the outfield, which is frustrating, dude. It's like, why pay IKF $6 million to be a utility guy when, like I said last pod, that position went for the veteran minimum for the Yankees the last 5 years. So now you're paying IKF $6 million to do that. And, you know, it'd be nice to spend that $6 million on either a left fielder or a center fielder or a fifth outfielder or anything like that.
Hell, so, at this point, I would take
poor allocation of
funds. I know he's asking for a little bit too much, but at this point, I'd give that $6 million to Jerks and Profar, being that he hasn't signed yet. I mean, just nothing.
Literally.
If you know that.
You just need depth. We don't have depth anymore, it feels like. One injury and you don't have any depth. Couple pitching injuries, you have no pitching depth either.
So
it's like we went from being really deep
I don't want to be like negligent to the fact that Rodon going down and being out for a period of time could be really bad, obviously, because you need starting pitching depth and you need starting pitching for for the season. But being that we have we had the question marks of who, because we have a abundance of pitchers at this point, that's a little easier for us to say, okay, that one doesn't worry me as much. But Bader is saying, okay, like I said, slippery slope when it comes to these outfielders, because no Yankee fan. Especially, we'll get into it, but especially after what we're seeing in spring training right now from Aaron Hicks, please God, we cannot see that guy doing that during the regular season, because it just looks like he's mentally checked out, and we can't do that in the outfield.
Yeah, Hicks has been checked out since 2018, but it really just feels, I don't know, it stresses me out, Rob, because the oblique is one of those injuries where I don't know, maybe I'm making it up in my head, but I just feel like there's constant setbacks with oblique injuries. It's like, oh, he re-aggravated it, so now it's gonna be another 3 weeks. And that's what's kind of putting me at a negative state when thinking about the Yankees outfield and Harrison Bader. But
yeah,
it's a shame, dude. We're kind of in this. I think we're in the latest part of spring training we've been in, and we really don't know how the roster's gonna look. I think we know how the roster's gonna look, but I don't think we know how. Your everyday lineup is going to look for the most part.
Yeah, and two, I'm going to say this. I forgot to say it on the last pod, but I just know they're going to do it. I think at the top of my wish list this year as a Yankees fan, honestly, would be consistent lineups where guys know where they're hitting. They know where they're playing, but we know that's not going to happen. And that's so frustrating.
That's all we've asked for like 4 years.
It's so simple. We've been asking for it for four years, and it's like a simple thing when you really look at it, but then it's complicated.
And you know the guys want it. Like, I feel like every player wants
that. We talked about it fully in the postseason, especially in that Houston series. We're just saying there's a different sense when players come to the ballpark and they know where they're playing, they know where they're hitting, they know where their role is. And that, though, okay, you'll have some changes here and there, but it really, I think, as a psyche thing for players, that does help them, that they say, okay, this is my job today, this is what I do, rather than, hey, we're gonna spin the wheel and see where you play today, Harrison, we're gonna spin the wheel, Judge, see where you're playing in the outfield. Like, that's just, it's on the top of my wish list, at least for 2023, but I know that's not gonna happen.
It would be wonderful. I think it's just something that the Yankees need to do, but it goes back to what we said as soon as they got eliminated in the postseason last year, Rob. Yanks played a different shortstop in every game, and that's, you know, besides this point. The Yankees just don't have an identity when it comes to an everyday lineup, an everyday structure. Like, I personally think Labor would be, you know, a much better player if he knew he was hitting behind DJ every day. In the sixth spot or the five spot, whatever it is. So I think little things like that is what's kind of, like you said, most infuriating. And, you know, we don't know that it's not going to happen, but all signs are pointing to that in terms of there's going to be a rotation in the infield. There's going to be a rotation in the outfield. You know.
Yeah.
Yanks need to have an identity this year at the bare minimum.
It sucks. It really sucks. But you mentioned actually the Anthony Rizzo lingering back issue. He actually was scratched from a start in spring last week with a cranky bat. He called it cranky, quotes. So
classic.
I think he's gonna be again something that he manages. It seems that would just be terrible. But I guess if that goes down, then you have DJ go to first base. But then again, DJ's he's just injury prone. That's just what happens with him at this point. So yeah.
We gotta hope for the kids, bro.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. That we really have to hope that those guys, one, that they're up playing on the roster would be nice.
Yeah,
and then
we know at least one
that
of them
that they give us they give them the opportunity to play. Jose Trevino as well is dealing with a wrist injury, so that is just terrible. Hey Higgy, come back healthy, dude, because that
yeah
can't have you. I mean, they're not. He's only gotten in the game a few times. I think the game two or three nights ago, he got in when it was in the ninth or something. But still, anything can happen. As obviously as what we saw in the Edwin Diaz fiasco last night, that was crazy. Yeah. So come back healthy, Higgy, because we got the catcher once again.
We don't have another catcher. Yeah, I mean Ben Wortvedt's
out of commission.
I don't remember what the timeline is for him either, but he's nowhere to be found as of right now.
Lou Trevino also will be on the IL, but at this point, knock on wood, the bullpen is the healthiest part of the lineup or healthiest part of the roster right now.
Just going back to that montage tree, Trevino was a part of it, and
the one could be the
it ain't looking hot.
Yeah. I mean, it could have been.
What
a
was
silver
the Trevino? Wait,
but...
yeah. What was the Trevino? I don't even remember what it. What is his injury?
Let's see. I have it pulled up here.
I forgot. I feel like his was a little worse if I remember, but I could be just absolutely lying. Lou Trevino, Yankees injury. Right elbow ligament strain.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that don't sound good, Rob.
Tommy Canley's got the bicep tendonitis as well, so.
Yeah, I'd prefer the bicep tendonitis, I think.
So.
Over the right elbow ligament strain.
Yeah. So.
I'll give you my ligament.
Heavy injuries going on right now for the Yanks. As I guess we're beating the drum over again. Anthony Volpe and the kids continue to look really, really good. Since our last pod, Dominguez homered again. Volpe also homered.
Dominguez out of his mind.
Hal Steinbrenner appeared yesterday and spoke a little bit about the kids. He actually said that he sees Peraza and Volpe as the middle infield of the future, and he consulted Aaron Judge and asked him what he thought of Anthony Volpe and said that he was hearing a lot of good things, and they kind of asked him about the timeline of when they may be called up, and
Judge doesn't care anymore, dude. He's like, I'm a captain here for 9 years. I'm gonna say what I want to say.
But at this,
people in the front office were like, oh, dude, you can't say that. You can't tell him that the best player should play.
Also, we can save.
We need to maximize our.
Also, we could save the service time. Manipulation. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But so, I don't. Are your feelings now changing? Do you think that there's a stronger chance that he plays on, or is on the opening day roster?
I do think there's a chance. I still think it starts with an IKF trade, which I do believe that they're trying to do, because there's seriously just no. There's no space for IKF. So I do think there's a smaller chance. It's still not great, so I wouldn't be surprised if they sent him down to AAA because he really didn't get that much playing time down there. And when he did, he had like a 7.15 OPS or something. But I mean, Rob, I tweeted this out earlier today. Cashman said, back in February or something, or January maybe, he said, I called Anthony Volpe, I let him know he has a real chance to win the starting shortstop job. I mean, dude, if that is true, if those statements from Cashman are true, that Volpe actually had a chance to win the starting job, and he's hitting .333 with a .460 on base, a .667 slugging, and a 1.126 OPS, and he looks great in the field. If he doesn't get the shortstop job, were those statements ever true?
No. Seriously,
what else can he do?
We know that they lie. They do. I'm sorry. It's in their DNA as of late in these past 5 years that they've said.
But it's not even like Cash was just lying. It's not even like Cash would just be lying to the fans.
No, apparently, he's lying to Anthony.
The report was like
Volpe.
He called to Anthony. Yeah, exactly.
So,
So that's even worse. I feel
no,
like.
10 times worse. I that's really it's really stinky. It is. It just sucks.
Yeah, it's just fishy.
Yeah, it's and like you said, it really has to start with an IKF trade that he would then have a pathway to be up here. But call me crazy. I think you could look at, and this goes into the IKF in center field. I think it could, them shifting him to center field, I think goes like one of two ways in my mind. Are they somewhat trying to increase his value and say, oh, he could play everywhere or something like that and construe it in that way? Or are they actually invested and continue to be invested in him? I really think that's on the table, and the more
it is,
and the more
is.
Time that goes on, obviously, because the timeline of when they could really trade him before spring training, obviously, because we only have two weeks until it starts, or two weeks till the season starts. But it's the more time that goes on, and the more that I see them experimenting with him in the outfield, and they say, hey, you know, he doesn't look too bad in the outfield, and now we got injuries.
I don't think they can find a suitor, dude.
And yeah, really, I don't think someone probably doesn't want to take that $6 million, and they probably don't have a place to play him. I mean, we were hopeful that maybe the Dodgers would want him, but you know, maybe they have better internal players than they mm-hmm. think are better than IKF, and they're just saying, eh, we'll pass on that. And the Yankees probably, honestly, at this rate, I really think that they're saying to themselves, nah, we can get him to play this, and he can find a role, and I think we need to keep him on this roster, and we're invested in him. And that
I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Infuriating, because that lessens opportunities for Volpe.
The kids.
Yeah, and really, I mean, Peraza should be starting at short, but I'm sure there's going to be some times that we see IKF at short if he's on the roster. So, it sucks.
IKF should not get any time at short, but like you said, dude, the longer he's on the team, the more adamant it becomes that he will be part of the roster moving forward. I really do hope not. It's a weird situation, dude. It feels like he shouldn't be on the team. I think he knows it too, Rob. And it's kind of sucks for IKF, dude, because his quotes they're honestly good. Like he makes really well-rounded statements to the media. He's like, listen, I'm going to do whatever the team wants me to do. You know, I want to play shortstop, but if the team needs me in center field, I think it's great to add that to my repertoire or my experience or whatever. Like, he makes good quotes that, like, you look at him and you're like, yeah, I can't really, you know, fault this dude. I think it goes, at the end of the day, it goes back to the Yankees doing Yankees things and playing people wherever they want. I mean, they are notorious for at least the last 5 years just playing dudes out of position, Rob. Do you remember Gleyber Torres was our shortstop? And then they publicly said after that, he's not going to play shortstop next year. And then he started on the roster next year as the backup shortstop, Rob. It's like, I just don't understand it. All right, that's enough out of me. It's just,
I mean,
like,
you're
out of
right.
position city.
You're right. It's
like, let's put Judge in center. Let's put him in left. Let's put Stanton in right. Like,
hey,
it's just,
they were given.
Let's put DJ at third. Put him at first.
They were given Judge time at first base earlier this spring training.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, let's get some fluidity. Let's have an identity, people. Please.
Goes back to the lineup too. You know. Ugh. No, I agree.
Let IKF go play third base and.
I would rather him play
St. Louis.
I would rather him play
anywhere.
Third base here too. I think he was playing third the other day. Yeah, no, it's just.
Yeah, I'd prefer. I'd take that too.
Yeah, tough.
Very weird.
All right, another guy that we'll be talking about because he'll definitely be playing now that Bader's out. Aaron Hicks, man, has me concerned of when he's going to play. You saw those. Mental mistake.
I don't think he wants to be in New York.
I don't think so either. I think he's sort of mentally checked out, and he just, I mean, understandably so of the way that the fan base has treated him. But at the same time, I think there's a certain level of professionalism that should go into any time. I that's why I give IKF a lot of credit of how he's talking in the media and saying what he's saying, and he's still willing to go play where the Yankees are asking him to play. But the way that Hicks looks in the outfield in spring training, I know it's spring training, but goddamn.
Did you just see my jaw drop? I just looked at his stats from the last time we looked at him. Hicks's spring training stats. Bro, he's got 11. Like, what's the one thing, Rob, when you think of Aaron Hicks? You're like, oh, okay, he does this well.
Walks.
He walks. Yeah. Right? Yeah. So he's got 27 plate appearances. He struck out 11 times, and he's got one walk.
Nothing's going to change this year. Nothing's going to change.
He's got a 644 OPS. So,
Jason Dominguez be just 1 year older?
Yeah, that really actually just pisses me off. Because last time I looked, I was like, oh, yeah, Hicks got like a 900 OPS, whatever. He's having a good like stretch of 7-8 games. Cool, maybe he'll walk. Like I literally said last pod when you asked me who could potentially have a better year, Donaldson or Hicks. And I was like, Hicks, he can walk. I know it's spring training, but in what world should you be striking out almost 40% of your at-bats and not walking at all? The one thing you do is walk. And you can't walk in spring training? I don't know.
Yeah, tough. Very, just not good. Oh, not a good look for him. And I don't think it's going to change this year. I pose this on...
We don't know what's going to happen, dude, with him either.
I pose this question, too. Estevan Florial is now out of options, and this is probably going to be his last go-around unless he really wows at the beginning of the season. And now that there is an avenue for... outfielders.
They're gonna trade him too.
Unless he really, like I said, unless he really wows the Yankees and turns it around and actually hits and plays the field well and does what that he's
just
shown,
been in the same position for
he's
so
shown
long.
Spurts
dude.
Of it sometimes when he comes up, but I know at least the Yankees. Yeah, he has trouble with a fastball. The Yankees. Yankee fans aren't really sold on him, and I had hopes for him, but this is probably
he's fun to watch.
He looks like a ball player.
He's
but,
an athlete,
but
dude.
It's
yeah.
he just there's just some things that he can't do. So
and you can't make too much sense of the Yankees because if he starts on the roster and you can't send him down. So it's either he stays on the roster or you DFA him. So you'd think the avenue is to trade him. So maybe that's a package you're trying to. They're trying to be like, hey, take Flo and take IKF from us as well. So maybe someone eats the $6 million. I don't know, but it feels like Flo should be traded as well then.
Yeah, because then you just lose him for nothing.
Yeah, so it's like you just had this dude in AAA like on the cusp for so many years and. They're so one thing the Yankees do well is they develop their bullpens very well, but they cannot develop positional players, at least treat them well, it feels like.
No.
I don't know. I mean, maybe Volpe they'll do well, but not they didn't do it to Peraza, they didn't do it to Clint Frazier, they didn't do it to I'm sure I'm blanking Andujar. On many, but Jabba Glaber, you can throw Glaber in there. He didn't want to play shortstop.
Yikes.
I don't know, dude. Throw Flo in there, yeah.
All right. This story came out yesterday that I thought was pretty funny that I wanted to talk about. The Yankees are reportedly have their players pay $9 for Wi-Fi on team charters, and the only other team that does this is the Cincinnati Reds.
Oh my! That's
that I read up on. I don't know if I think that's true, as that the Reds are the only other team, but apparently I think there was a quote that talked about Brett Gardner looked at Garrett Cole jokingly, and we remember him joking with Garrett Cole about the spider tack back in the day, and that kind of rubbed Garrett the wrong way. That we heard that there was a little bit of locker room tension, but apparently he said to Cole, it's your fault. Your contract is too big. They can't pay for Wi-Fi. And yeah. if that
someone's got to pay for judging.
I was
Garrett.
Saying Judge should have looked at them and try and negotiated that during his contract talk.
Yeah, literally. So, hey, I'm tired of the damn.
I don't know. I thought that was pretty wild when I heard that them and the Reds are the only teams doing it.
Yeah.
That's kind of wild.
I had no idea. So, I didn't even know. Like, I wouldn't even think that that's a thing. You're flying on a private plane.
Yeah, team plane. I would think that they would allow you to get Wi-Fi, but I don't know. It's kind of odd to me. But
I would love to hear someone talk about
that.
DJ, to ask DJ or Nestor. So is it true you guys got to pay $9 to watch Netflix on the plane?
Oh, that would be funny to bring up. One of the beat reporters asks during it.
Social, Yeah, Yankee social media manager. That's what they should just stand outside.
How much should the price be?
How do you feel about the $9 wine? You know how they like sometimes they hold the sign or whatever,
that'd be funny.
And it's like, what's your favorite movie or what's it, whatever. How do you feel about the $9 Wi-Fi on the plane?
I mean, they got the money to spend, so I don't. They're not. It's not hurting their pocket, but at the same time, you go, well, the rest of the league is doing it, so why aren't you?
Yeah, it's like maybe that should just be like a necessity in today's world.
Exactly, especially when you're $6 billion worth.
Also, you wonder who's too cheap on the team to just – they're just like, nope, I'm not paying the $9.
I bet there's a few of them.
Like, I could so see Guardy just being like, I'm not paying that shit.
He's like, I'll just read my book.
Yeah. Play cards.
So, to end off, I think we talked about this last time that we wanted to try and do our projected opening day lineups from 1 through 9 and what we were thinking. So, I put together mine. We know Garrett Cole is starting on opening day. They announced it this past week, so Garrett will get the nod.
Hidden secret.
Obviously. But I would run through – I'll run through mine, and then, Tyler, you can go through yours. So what I think the opening day lineup will be, and honestly what I will probably see quite a bit this year.
Ours are going to be pretty close.
I have DJ LeMahieu leading off at DH. Aaron Judge in center field batting second. Anthony Rizzo batting third, first base. Giancarlo Stanton in right field batting cleanup. Gleyber Torres at second base batting fifth. Josh Donaldson at third base batting sixth. Aaron Hicks in left field batting seventh. Oswald Peraza at shortstop batting eighth. And Jose Trevino catching. Now that's a – obviously that's not my ideal lineup. That's what I think the Yankees will do. Yes. Who do you think that they'll run out there?
So we are very close to the same. I do think DJ is going to start at third base. I think Judge will be in center, batting second. I think Rizzo will be at first. I think Stanton will be I do think he'll be DHing to start. Okay. So he will be – and then Gleyber will be at second. So I have Gleyber in the five hole as well. And then I have Waldo playing left field.
Ooh, there we go.
Right, I do. I feel like he'll get the start. They'll just do it to appease Yankees fans. I also got Peraza at short. Like I said, I would love Volpe to start at short, but I do think it's going to be Peraza at least for the first month or so. And then I also have Trevino catching and Garrett's pitching.
I'm curious. It'll be interesting to see what they do. I think the only reason I think that they'll have Hicks on opening day in left field is because maybe they'll say, oh, well, Hicks is play it on opening day, and it's a big day. It is a big day. It's a lot of energy for the stadium. I know the prices are jacked up for the first game, and everyone's going to be pumped in the Bronx on a beautiful Thursday afternoon. So
maybe we get Ortega in the starting lineup.
He's been playing very well. So I don't know. So
I think it's him over Willie Calhoun.
Until I see him actually give kids opportunities on these big dates, I gotta hold back on it. But obviously, I'd love if Waldo played left field. I think the last
position. You gotta remember, Gleyber didn't even start last year opening day.
Yeah, exactly. Donaldson, dude, imagine. I was in.
Donaldson led off
last year. And he walked off the Red Sox. I was in Cancun when that happened. I was at a wedding for a friend's wedding. And it's amazing how. What can change in a year?
The euphoria you can feel.
What can change in a year? I remember I texted you. I was all nervous about some Judge quote that he had before right on opening day when they asked him something about the contract. But now, obviously, that's squared away. But, I mean, we're dealing with a pretty similar roster, obviously. I think Higgy probably maybe caught on opening day because it was Garrett and him and it was Jose's first year. So they didn't They didn't have that connection there, but obviously now that's squared away too. So I don't know, man. I just need opening day to be here. I hope this 2 week period.
Just want some clarity.
2 weeks.
Dude.
I hope we find some sort of clarity, man, because it is just it's maddening when you see some.
It's
of this
weird
stuff.
Because we know what the Yankees are going to do too. Like they're not going to treat April as this month that they actually take seriously. Mm-hmm. Like, they're going to use it as an extended spring training. Garrett's going to throw 85 pitches his first outing, probably like all the other pitchers. It's just – it's the way the Yankees operate right now. So, I just hope we get a clear direction by the middle of April. And you're going to be like, okay, this is who's probably going to play. When Bader comes in, he's going to fill in here for whoever, you know. Who knows? Maybe Peraza is like a little stopgap for Volpe right now. Maybe they just have Peraza play for a month and then Volpe. And then Volpe comes up and Peraza backs him up. I don't know.
Well.
I don't know.
The that clear picture that you're talking about is probably won't come until maybe September, knowing them.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
maybe.
That's the issue.
Yeah, hopefully.
That's the issue.
Hopefully, hopefully if we make the playoffs, we'll have an idea what the starting lineup will look like because we really didn't last year.
Now, especially with these injuries, we got to really hope. It's not going to be a cakewalk to the playoffs, especially when you got men down like this. But that's it for episode 135. We appreciate you guys for listening. As always, be sure to subscribe. Follow us on our social medias. Subscribe on YouTube, on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify. Leave us a rating and review. We'll be very appreciative of that. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. But that is it for this episode. We'll catch you at 136, and we are going to hopefully see some other moves happen, maybe. But other than that, we'll continue with some spring training stuff and then continue the countdown to opening day. Catch you next time.